switch the script to baseball. We go to our Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Blue Jays, Ben Wagner. Benny, we got something fun coming up in Calgary here before we get to the set in the Bronx. I think we are 9 days away from our Sportsnet 960 hot stove with yourself, Mike Wilner, and I, as we will be chatting with a bunch of Calgary Blue Jays fans. You looking forward to that?
I am looking forward to that. Actually, popped up on my calendar as a reminder yesterday when we were enjoying the last off day of the regular season. Huh. And I thought, oh, this is a perfect time to have everybody on board from Calgary, because now that hockey is winding down, I guess, in terms of, you know, the big run. I know the Stanley Cup playoffs are obviously awesome. Don't get me wrong. I love watching the Stanley Cup. But, you know, basketball is coming to a close and shifting gears out of Raptors mania. And now all of a sudden the Blue Jays knocking on the door of a playoff run. It's a very exciting time to talk to the folks in Calgary.
Yeah, right on, man. Looking forward to that. And it could be a point where it could be a celebration. The Blue Jays can theoretically clinch by then, maybe even on that day, the 24th. It's interesting. This feels like a massive series in the Bronx, and it would be under normal circumstances, given the Jays are a half game up and the battle is for second in the division. But at the same time, with this expanded playoff format, both these teams are already over 98% per fan graphs on the probability to get to the postseason. So even if you got swept one way or the other, you're still going to have an incredibly probable outcome of being a playoff team. So how do you sort of grade the importance of this series in New York?
I think it's still very important. I think it's really important for the Blue Jays to secure that number two spot. They don't want to flirt and worry about who and where and when. You know, if you're not part of the top two teams within the division, you can avoid, you know, the better teams in that first round of the playoffs. And also just to stay ahead of the Yankees. You know, there seems to be this hurdle always to go through the Bronx for any postseason plan that the Toronto Blue Jays have been thinking about or actually had to accomplish the last couple of years. And this division has been kind of a crapshoot outside the Tampa Bay Rays, who continuously just fight through their injury situations. And you muscled up against the New York Yankees when you had them in Buffalo. They were making a ton of excuses, and the Blue Jays were just flat out the better team, you know, flat out the better team for 3 days. And now you tee up another short little series where the Yankees pitching is going to be a lot different. And they have an up-and-comer in Davey Garcia, who is outstanding against the Blue Jays over his 7 innings his last time out. But that's just kind of the way you turn the key on this thing to start what will be not only an important series, but really an important week for Blue Jays baseball. Because that Philly series isn't going to be any easy run either, with 4 games in 3 days, including that doubleheader on Friday to kick it off. So it's a big week. It's obviously a massive series that starts tonight when you've got Davey Garcia, you've got Gerrit Cole, you've got Masahiro Tanaka coming right at the Toronto Blue Jays. This is a good measuring stick to find out where the Blue Jays are if those guys, coming off of really good starts too, throw the baseball like they want. And Taijuan Walker is somebody that wants to be challenged more. He feels like he should be left in a ball game to get through these tough situations even longer. And now it's time. Here's why the Blue Jays went out and got a guy like Taijuan Walker for a start like he's going to have tonight.
It's actually dovetails nicely into something I want to bring up later, but here it is. Tanner Roark was quite critical of the notion that starters should be removed before a third time through the lineup after his last outing. It also didn't go well when he was removed with the bullpen. That hasn't been the norm. How do you balance, or I guess view that? I understand athletes, it's like the horse wants to run, the pitcher wants to pitch. They want to do what they get paid for. They're not eager to come out of games, quite the opposite. They'll convince you to stay in when maybe a more big picture view would suggest they shouldn't. I understand Rourke hasn't been great this year. He's been okay. But, I mean, Taijuan Walker probably has a little more leg to stand on if he wants to stay in later than in games. And I look at this Rourke start tomorrow as being a fascinating one just because of what's happened in the last week on that front with his comments publicly.
Without a doubt. Because you are going to be allowed, especially a veteran guy like Tanner Rourke. I mean, he's got a ton of experience. And he's had the ability to pitch deep into ball games, but if you look at his given track record, he's more of a five-and-dive guy. So just get to the fifth inning. Because that's how the Blue Jays have been preparing and honestly maneuvering their bullpen since the start of the year. because pitching was so inconsistent. And still, outside of Hinjin Ryu and that little early blip from Matt Shoemaker, guys aren't getting to the sixth. And while the Blue Jays have continued to win, you know, their offense has done a lot of the heavy lifting and bailed out some rather shaky innings for the starting guys in the rotation. So not every time has Tanner Roark and Chase Anderson been really given an opportunity, yet warranted an opportunity to pitch into the sixth or beyond, just because of the amount of pitches that they're throwing, the runs that they're giving up, too many tight ball games, and the better or bigger situations to get outs within these given games are being executed by guys like Julian Merriweather and Thomas Hatch, because they throw more strikes, their stuff is more electric, and it's such a difference versus Chase Anderson and Tanner Roark stuff that it's the right move in so many cases for the Blue Jays to do that. And look at the numbers. And I know the Blue Jays are so heavily involved in analytics, and they think that if they plan this out, the third time through the order should be around that fourth or fifth inning. And that's where it's really frustrating, guys, that they're not even completing this little badge of honor to get through a quality start or those kind of things. But it's not exactly Pete and Charlie's decision. Charlie Montoyo and Pete Walker, the pitching coach, mm-hmm. It's not their decision. I mean, that is coming from as high as you can go on the totem pole, so to speak. And that's being passed down. So if Charlie and Pete make these moves in the eyes of their bosses, this is the move that should have been made anyway. So there's not going to be any pushback.
Well, and the flip side of the coin from my perspective is pitch better if you're Tanner Roark.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? It goes for all those guys. And there have been innings too. You wondered, is Hinjin Ryu going to be able to get through four in some games where he comes out and he's got a really long first and then all of a sudden it's a really long third. And I'm talking like pitch count wise, 25 pitches, 30 pitches sometimes for him to get through. He's throwing way more pitches, than somebody that was only averaging 14 pitches per inning last year. So there's a lot of concern, especially in a shortened season like this.
Yeah, and that said, Ryu's game log is phenomenal, but you're right. He's had to get himself out of a lot of jams, but give him credit, he's done it. Only one of his last eight starts, he's surrendered more than a single earned run. That's remarkable starter number one stuff, I guess, minus the innings. You'd love to see him in the seventh and eighth. You haven't really seen that.
No, and that's the big breathing point. If you could just get one of those once every 5 days, just to let a lot of young arms and guys that are just flat out running on fumes right now, to get them a day off where you can rely that Hinjin Ryu is going to go out there and be efficient and pitch the Blue Jays still in a position where they can win, where you don't have to think about the higher leverage innings, where you have to think about 2-3-4, let alone if 2-3-4 coming up with guys on base. The guys that do have that ability will be Hinjin Ryu and a little bit of Taijuan Walker, and that's why he was frustrated as well. And I can tell you just by talking to the guys in the room that there weren't a lot of people saying, oh, you shouldn't have said that, Tanner, because a lot of the Blue Jays, especially a lot of the starting guys, believe that that's absolutely their job, is to get through and figure out those tough situations when they're placed in the jam. And veteran guys like Taijuan Walker and Hinjin Ryu are going to get that opportunity, even more so than Chase Anderson and Tanner Roark at this point, because their stuff is a little bit short than what Walker and Ryu's has been. So, yes, that boils down to play better, pitch better, and you get to be in the ballgame longer.
Simple stuff, I guess, at the end of the day. Yankees come into this series with a whole lot more confidence, momentum, and health as well, as they were when they finished that Blue Jays series. They lost 2-3. They'd lost 15 of 20. They've now reeled off a bunch of wins in a row. They just swept a four-game set with the O's. This is more the ball club we were expecting to see this time of year.
That is the ball club, and it's a healthier ball club now, too. They're going to get Stanton back. They should get Judge back by the time the Blue Jays get out of town, thankfully. Those bats are always going to loom, and they're always going to be concerning whether their timing is down. But they did not rush either of those guys back. They spent a lot of time at the Ulnar training site getting their at-bats and trying to get that timing down so they're 100% when they come. This is another key for the Blue Jays going into this series, where the Yankees are playing with a lot more confidence, and now you're going into their house. So for a ball club that has been battling injuries, let alone their pitching concerns, but battling significant losses in the lineup with Teoscar Hernandez and with the loss of Rowdy Tellez, even those are – encouraging signs that maybe one, if not two, could be available at some point. The Blue Jays are going in there with a little less pop, but what they have been able to do is they've had better at bats and more of almost like a Tampa Bay grind out every at bat, try to ratchet up pitch counts and really get in the box and work to see if you can maneuver through a big inning versus waiting for that big hit within an inning.
A couple things I want to touch on before we go, just on the offensive side of the ball. Bo Bichette is back. You alluded to some timelines for Tellez and Teoscar. And I think maybe one of the quieter stories this year, Kevin Biggio is one of the more difficult plate appearances pitchers have to face. And I say plate appearance because a lot of them don't show up as at-bats. He's milked a lot of walks. He's the fastest in Blue Jays history by over 40 games, quicker than the second fastest to 100 walks in his career. Incredible how often he gets on base and just not swinging at junk.
He doesn't chase. In fact, it's almost his demise at times if there's a wide strike zone being called. If you watch Kevin Biggio play day in and day out, you appreciate Kevin Biggio the more you watch him play. It's been really incredible. There's only been four games that he hasn't reached base via hit, a walk, a hit batter. You know, the four games all season long, let alone this incredible run that he's on. If you go back to the 21-game on-base streak from last year, Kevin's got a keen eye. He's taken every challenge, and his defensive challenges never carry over to any challenges. I'm saying, like, the challenge of where you're going to play in the lineup that day, the challenges to his offensive side. He has flipped from second in the batting order to leadoff in the batting order, and it's teed up perfectly and working just the way that it should. If Kevin gets on with a single or a double or a walk, then here comes Ambush Bo in that number two hole ready to drive him in. And, you know, it's worked magnificently for the Blue Jays to get early runs or late in ball games. If you need somebody that you trust in the eighth or the ninth inning, guess what? Those spots are coming around. And Kevin Biggio, too, defensively, he's made himself into a player that can go anywhere and be so valuable because he can then, in late game situations, if you have to pinch hit, you can move him from second to play first to play third. He's played center. He's played right field. That's just a valuable piece for any ball club, let alone where the Blue Jays are. I've long been a fan of Kevin Biggio. When we first got to really think in 2018 that here comes this kid, we need to be ready for him to make it to the major leagues. Of course, he did that last year, and he's continued to impress.
Alejandro Kirk kind of had some of that cult hero hype in spring training, the original one back in March. He hadn't played above single-A ball until his major league debut just a couple days ago. What can you tell us about the 5'8", 265-pound catcher from Tijuana?
He's a little spark plug, my man. He's fun to watch, and this guy can hit. He is a professional hitter. Recognized when he was 16, 17 years of age, playing professional baseball in Mexico. And scouts, you know, looked at the body build, weren't really sure if all the tools would come together. But the Blue Jays took a flyer on him after a scouting department in Tampa Bay took a long look at him and decided to pass. He fell right to the Blue Jays. And there's a reason that he's in the major leagues. And that's because of his hand-eye coordination, the fact that he'll not be overmatched at this point. And they feel, even go back to spring training, that his offensive ability, the bat-to-ball potential with Alejandro Kirk is something that we were supposed to watch as a regular season developed, let alone what this season is. And now with the absence of those two significant bats, Rowdy Tellez and Teoscar Hernandez, you have to have a threat. And this kid is a threat. He can go the opposite way. He won't roll over a lot. He'll drive the ball. And he's got some pop because those hands and that body generate a lot of bat speed. And he almost had his first major league home run on a ball that he yanked for his first major league hit down the left field line. I mean, it was hit with some serious thunder. But, you know, and the initial reaction that I got from people close to the team is the fact that they also liked the way that he caught. And he's not a great catch and throw guy yet. There's some things to improve on. But he's a guy. He's a guy that's turning a lot of heads right now. And if he continues to hit, he'll continue to play.
Finally, what do you expect from Matt Shoemaker and Nate Pearson in terms of contributions to this team, be it in the regular season or beyond?
I think Nate Pearson will definitely be a factor, maybe even as early as this week. We should find out a lot more about his plan today. Also, he's going to go to the bullpen, and I think he's going to be a one- or two-inning guy. ideally, he would be a guy that you could go out there and just let it fly, and with fastball command, and then lean on the secondary stuff as a two-inning guy. He won't have to face a lineup for the second time through, so he just needs to pitch it and not think about how he's going to attack a lineup later on in the ball game. He can just go out and let his stuff play, which is great. Matt Shoemaker's a little bit of a wild card for me. I don't know that he'll have an opportunity to build his pitch count up. He is throwing bullpens. He might be a long man scenario in the bullpen, depending on how his stuff looks. If we get to that final week of the regular season, I know they would like to get him some appearances ahead of that, but it will likely be in a bullpen role with Matt. But there's a lot of question marks in my mind right now about Shoemaker, but Pearson is getting geared up, and I think we'll see him in pretty short order.
Always good catching up. Enjoy this set. I know it's not quite the same without fans in the Bronx and without you guys being there, but we do have baseball in the middle of a pandemic, so it could be worse. And geez, this baseball team, 6 games over .500, a half game up on the Yankees, that would have been preposterous. And you might have to wear a straitjacket and get thrown in the institution if you suggested that just a few months ago.
Yeah, just a couple of months ago, if anybody would have said this, we would have thought that they were crazy. And maybe some people did think that they were crazy when we heard they, being the Toronto Blue Jays, saying that they were out to crush some dreams this year and create their own. And they have definitely lived up to everything they had talked about doing back in July.
Appreciate your time. Can't wait for the 24th. That'll be fun. I know I've got a lot of people reaching out on social media. They're excited about it, too.
That's awesome. Yeah, great to hear, and looking forward to that event with you guys.